Blog Talk Radio.
It's the V-Spot. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Tater. My co-host is Bill Foster. V-Spot Radio is brought to you by Planet Vic Tater Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly do not want. Only at Planet Vic Tater. Dr. Vic Tater here. We're going to do a show on Mega Man, but we're not doing it tonight. It might be Sunday night. We just got some plans going. We're a little worn out. So for now, we're going to do Classic Vic Tater. Actually, I'm going to play an interview I did with Dan the Beast Severn from 2009. I first came into contact with Dan Severn back in 2007, I believe. I made one of my music videos for him, and I sent him the link. Usually, wrestlers don't respond to it. Some of them do. It's usually a polite thank you. Severn was really into it. Like, he really appreciated the effort that I put in, and he put it on his website. We communicated a little bit. In 2009, I had an opportunity to interview him for Cage Side Seats. I'm not really with that site anymore, and I don't want to bash them, but it's just not my thing. It's just that. So it's just not my scene. But anyway, I did get the interview with Dan Severn. I transcripted most of it. I did end up transcripting most of it, but I couldn't get all of it because I wasn't exactly sure what he was saying because we didn't have the best recording technique in the sense that I would just have a speakerphone and a tape recorder. Severn was a really awesome guy. And again, I'm looking at this, it says it has 14 minutes and 44 seconds of audio. I'm hoping that's the entire thing. I'm hoping that's the entire MP3, unless it has some limit on it. I don't know. But Summer was a really cool guy. He talked to me. He wasn't really condescending. You know, he was very condescending. He answered all my questions, so maybe one, and he was cool about it. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to put myself on hold, and I'm going to go back to 2009. Hope you enjoy this. Check us out on Sunday. Right now, I'm getting ready to gear up for the season finale of Horsepower at horsepowerthemovie.blogspot.com. Please come over there and read it. We're going to have bigger stuff before the year's up, hopefully. You can check out my other blogs, Dr. Vic Tater Presents and Untitled Moon Project, the V-Spot blog for movies and TV. Okay, but now I'm just going to go ahead, I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to go ahead and play the interview. Here we go. I'm speaking with Dan Severn today for Cage Side Seats. My first question is, can you tell me how you made the transition from amateur wrestling to professional wrestling?
Okay, it was probably harder for me to make the transition from amateur wrestler to professional wrestler, going from professional wrestler to, no holds barred cage fighter. That was actually pretty easy for me because my life has been a life of competition. So doing that portion was easy. The hard part was going from amateur wrestler to professional wrestler because now they can actually look good without, sitting down from a fat man to a birthday bridge or something along those lines.
Okay, how did you learn about UFC?
The UFC, basically, I lived in Coldwater, Michigan at that same time, since fall of 91, and it was so rural it did not have the pay-per-view capabilities. This basically was brought to my attention by a friend of mine of the Detroit area, and he watched his first football, and he said, you know, I think about doing this, and then he just kind of reminded me of how I was first introduced to it, and that's kind of how I started to pursue it.
Were there any parts of pro wrestling you had difficulty adapting to?
I would say the part that I had professional wrestling is actually for a long period of time, it made me more nervous when you're facing a wrestling match, and the opponent is doing a new holds barred or a mixed martial arts match. Well, it's not only a contradiction in terms, but in the real athletic contest, being able to just go out there and get results in professional wrestling, you have to put your body into somebody else's hands. You guys don't know what to do with your body, because if you screw up, not them will get hurt, you get hurt. One of the professional wrestlers, that was a hard thing for me to swallow at times.
How were the early UFC promoters to deal with?
The deal was, the UFC has had three different ownerships. I have dealt with actually all three of them. I dealt more with probably ownership number two, when it was owned by the New York-based company, the Semaphore Entertainment Group by Berowitz.
When was the last time you dealt with UFC?
Yeah, they didn't bring me out to one of their events just this past year. I mean, that was probably the most recent thing I've been involved with. I needed an email or a phone call to business, because I'm still trying to help other athletes transition.
When did you learn you were going to become NWA World Champion?
I won that, I believe it was sometime in the 1994. There was Smoky Mountains Wrestling.
Did they pick your bookings for you, or did you find your own and then you had to ask them?
Well, basically, they made the bookings for me. I mean, again, upon availability, though, because, I mean, I was still doing a lot of other things other than just doing professional wrestling, but, you know, they wanted to utilize the status I had and the notoriety, and that was kind of a hard thing because I still was doing amateur wrestling, you know, camps and clinics and doing amateur wrestling matches, so that was still kind of a tough period of time because I you know, stayed so busy for so many years doing things like that.
What led to you being booked on the King of the Deathmatch card versus Tarzan Goto? Was this your first time working in a hardcore match?
Yes.
Was
I
it?
Had never been involved with something quite that bizarre. I've been on a few different shows where I've seen this kind of stuff taking place. I'm like, well, that's a tough match to follow now, right? Because, you know, people see, you know, flesh and balls being bashed over people's hands, you know, getting hit with the barbed wire bats, stuff like that. I'm thinking, man, how are we supposed to follow that and just give them wrestling? Right? I mean, it seems like that's a whole different entity in itself. But, I mean, to be involved with Tarzan Goto, I did not know that years later that would be looked upon as such a career highlight there for myself in being involved with a hardcore match.
I saw the match, but I've been looking for the match for years because I saw a picture in Pro Wrestling Illustrated around like 96, and I actually wanted to see the match, and other people would ask me while I was looking for a show because everybody else watches it looking for the Cactus Jack matches, and I would tell people, I said, I want to see the Dan Severn Tarzan Goto match. And when I actually saw it, I thought it was a great match.
It was definitely a funny match.
I thought it was, I just liked it because of the, it was just the contrast of styles. Like, you know, you have one guy trying to throw a chair, and then you got you, who's a real wrestler. I was just a huge fan of it. I've showed it to other people, and they really loved it, too.
It was just a contrast of styles. I mean, because we were out there dueling with chairs at one point in time, too, you know, so.
Okay, you said that UFC had a problem with you, with Dennis Caruso. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce his name.
You said it close enough. Caruso, yeah.
Okay, he brought the NWA title on the UFC shows. When did they first find out about it?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, basically, I didn't want to totally surprise them. I mean, it was brought to their attention. It had some apprehension, but then when I told them the story about it, I said that, I mean, I'm out there to take care of business. I was going to have one of the head promoters, one of the NWA, would be carrying the belt in the entourage. So that basically, knowing that he isn't part of the entourage and that, they had no problem with it then. I mean, because, I think it's just a way that them having to deal with me directly and come across with the type of person that I am with names. I mean, I'm not trying to exploit things in a bad way. I was just trying to exploit things in a good way.
My editor, he knows more about mixed martial arts than I do because I haven't really seen, I've seen some of a lot more of the early UFC shows, but he knew some specific questions to ask. He wanted me to ask you about your second fight with Ken Shamrock. Mind you, I've never seen an actual fight myself. He said he got a bad, I think you, I heard you speak about it one time, but he didn't get a good reaction from the crowd.
Well, no, I feel a lot of people did not like that match, and I think it was even chronicled in kind of like different books stuff like that, and they thought it was one of the worst matches in the UFC's history at that time. What being the marquee match in that produced, but to me, in my honest opinion, I thought it was the most well thought out psychological match ever in UFC. You know that they had a 10,000-seat sellout, I think it was the biggest crowd at the time. And I'm thinking the crowd not liking this match. And they started booing. They did everything I hoped they would do. Because, I mean, Shamrock, up to that point, guy was always been more of a counter fighter. He lets you attack and then he counterattacks you. And I thought, well, if I do the exact same thing, I circle him and I do basically what he's doing, nothing. The crowd is going to get rather restless. And they will start to boo, and I mean, they get off into bullying, and even throw garbage in the cage.
So you were hoping.
John McCarthy was even, with the referee, he was even high signs of my back on the outside. You know, they want us to stay to get us to fight. He actually stopped the match, pushed us back to restart us, and he's actually even cussing at us and saying that you guys came to fight, blankety blank, and fight by God. And as even as he pushed me back, I made a comment to him and go, John, just take your shirt off. I said, we'll make a three-way death match. And I said, I could care less. I mean, I will never quarterback, that like the Mark and stuff like that. To me, it's like that same guy. Climber said they accuses me. Look across from me right there. When the referee says it's a dinner, I said, as I move towards him, I know I will see a puddle form at his feet. The only thing is that I'm kind of involved in a few different things right there. I take a great deal of pride in what I've done and what I've accomplished. And as far as I'm concerned, there's not another human being alive and or dead that has accomplished what I have accomplished in the professional wrestling, the mixed martial arts, no holds barred, and amateur wrestling circuit. In all three areas, I've been very successful. And the fact is, I'm lifetime chemical free, and I started certain things at a very late date in life. As a WWF oldest rookie ever at 40 years of age, I started a cage fighting career. Basically, you know, I'm 36, getting ready to turn 37. Who starts a career at that age?
It's got to be a big transition.
The world record won a 7 title belt. I have either 18 or 19 right now. I mean, so if you find somebody else that can have any claim, I've done as many as 17 amateur wrestling matches in one day. Two different age groups, three weight classes per age group, winning 6 gold medals. 17 matches, like I said, one day. Find me another man that even come close to what I've done. I legitimately have over 100 state national earnings with titles and or records. No one else has done ever what I've done.
Well, it's got to be hard, you know, because people are booing, you know, but this is like a real fight that you're trying to win. You're not trying to put on a show for anybody.
Oh, exactly. The bottom line is, what are they going to remember? They're going to remember who won. And then when it boils down to me, like, I didn't change rules about the time element. I guarantee you, you just change the element of time. Let's face it did have to change in order for the UFC and for mixed martial arts, in order for it to continue to even exist, and so, like I said, the no host part here, it's gone. It'll just be something that's in the archives of history now. But people, the thing that I don't like is the fact that they almost try to bury it like it never existed. Where at the same token, I think that the current UFC ownership, they should at least embrace it and say, this is our one-way decay, and this is what it is evolved to, and recognize some of the people from the past. You know, an old Mexicoff, a Don Fry, a Keith Anthony, a Marco Juarez, you know, a Steve Jenner. These people all did something for this sport, and yet no one knows who they are.
When I watch those old tapes, I always find those more entertaining than when I've tried to watch the current shows, because there was just something then. I really can't describe it, but it had this more out of control edge to it. Now, I don't know. It's not. I mean, there can be good fights. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of mixed martial arts. I mean, I can watch it, but I'm not going to go out of my way to. But when I'd watch those old tapes, there'd be fights, you know, and you'd really get into it because I don't know. It's like it would really just give off this larger life air than I find it does now.
Hey, everybody. You know what? That's not the full interview. I'm not exactly sure what happened. I was going through my other computer, and I thought this was the full interview edited properly. Apparently, it's not. I tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to find the rest of it, and we'll put it up tomorrow night. For now, like I said, if you want to read a transcript of it, head over to my blog, Dr. Victator Presents. Or, you know what, heck, just go on Daily Motion, look up Dan Severn versus Jorge Cotto, because that really is a hell of a match. I love that match. But for now, I'm sorry I didn't have the whole interview. I'm not exactly sure what happened. Most likely it's Neil's fault. I can't prove that at the moment. But y'all have a good night and a good weekend.